Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Thanks for joining us on this Friday when we are concluding a wonderful series we've been in all this week on the fear of the Lord. Derek Prince has been teaching us and really helping us understand some of the rather sometimes confusing information in the Bible about the fear of the Lord. But here's what he said are the benefits of the fear of the Lord. Listen to this and you'll understand why we're so excited about this series. First of all, the fear of the Lord is a continual spiritual cleansing that endures forever. Second, the fear of the Lord means life and many good days. That's what the Bible promises. Third, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord means a blessed and a happy family. Well, that just makes sense, right? People living in right relationship with God. Fourth, the fear of the Lord is freedom from all evil fears. Thank God, if you're tormented by fear, the right kind of fear drives off false and religious and demonic fear. Fifth, the fear of the Lord is a place of security, a shelter. Six, the fear of the Lord is deliverance from satanic snares. Thank God. True, passionate fear of the Lord will deliver us from the satanic traps of our lives. Seventh, the fear of the Lord is abiding satisfaction. Eight, the fear of the Lord is preservation from the visitation of evil. Nine, the fear of the Lord is riches and honor. And 10, the fear of the Lord is a hope that extends beyond the grave. Now, with a topic like that and with a power like that from God on high, what a great thing to embed in our lives. So today, as we bring this teaching to a close, I want you to really know these truths. If you've missed any of this, log on to the website at derekprince.org. But you see from this list why the fear of the Lord is not just about browbeating people into a moral life. It's about great blessings that God is giving us. Let's get ready now and listen as Derek Prince teaches us on the fear of the Lord.
In my previous talks this week, I've shared with you out of the two books of Psalms and Proverbs an amazing range of benefits and blessings that are promised to those who cultivate the fear of the Lord. In my talk today, I'm going to give you a brief verbal sketch of the kind of person who is qualified to enjoy these blessings. I'm going to try to give you a character picture of that kind of person. I'm going to turn, first of all, to the Old Testament, to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, which is one of the most remarkable statements, I think, anywhere in Scripture. It says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Now, another more modern translation says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." It's the same scripture, but it's a slightly different translation. The one says, "whose heart is perfect toward him." The other says, "whose hearts are fully committed to him." That's to the Lord. Let's consider for a moment what that means. The heart is perfect. It means there's no area of the heart that is turned away from the Lord. The entire heart of that person is focused on the Lord. His entire attitude is, how can I please the Lord? What does the Lord require of me? How does the Lord view this situation? How does the Lord view this choice that I'm going to make? There's no area of such a person's heart which seeks to turn away from the Lord or seeks to hide something from him or to do something that he might not approve of. And then the other translation, I think, also is beautiful, whose hearts are fully committed to him. I think full commitment is essential to the fear of the Lord. You're totally given over to God's way, to pleasing God, to doing his will. In a certain sense, I think you have to say you've burned your bridges. There's no way back. You've taken a decisive step. Most of the people called into the Lord's service in the Bible had to do that one way or another. They had to make a commitment, which was, in a sense, irrevocable. There was no going back. And I see the same in the lives of people today. I know it was true in my own life. I can look back more than once on situations where, in order to do the will of God, I had to make a commitment that was irrevocable. There was no way to undo it. There was no way back. And let me say to you, if God is confronting you who are listening with such a commitment, don't be afraid to make it. Because when you do burn your bridges, and when you do step out in faith, God will open up things for you that you'll never discover until you make the commitment. It's commitment first, then revelation. God has a lot of wonderful secrets which he does not reveal to people who are not committed to him. Let me ask you this question. Is your heart perfect toward the Lord? Is your heart fully committed to him? You see, a person like that views every issue from God's perspective. He says, how does God see this? Not how will this work out for me? How will this affect me? Where are my interests? And that attitude overrules all other motives and pressures in such a person's life. And we know from experience, all of us, there are many pressures that come into our lives that seek to cause us to do things, but they may not be the things that God would wish us to do. In seeking to give you a sketch of the kind of person who has cultivated the fear of the Lord, I want to turn to another passage in the Old Testament, this time in the prophets. In the prophet Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, Jeremiah here gives us, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a picture of two kinds of persons. One is blessed, the other is cursed. And it's a strange thing, but you know, there isn't much between blessing and cursing. We always like to leave in our lives a kind of gray area. Well, I'm not blessed, but I'm not cursed. I'm not sure that really that is scriptural in the long run. So let me just read to you this description in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8, of the kind of person who's cursed first, and then the kind of person who's blessed. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. That's the picture of the man who's cursed. And his problem is his heart has turned away from the Lord. His heart is not perfect toward the Lord. And he's relying on himself, his own cleverness, his own effort, his own abilities. He's making his own plans. He's making his own choices. Now, let's look at the opposite picture, the man who's blessed. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, that's in the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. What a beautiful picture. Let me pick out some of those descriptions which are applied to a tree but are a picture of a person. So we could say rather than it, he. He does not fear when heat comes. You notice? The fear of the Lord eliminates those negative fears. He does not fear when heat comes. His leaves are always green. He's fresh. He's green. He's never frazzled. He's never withered. He's never dried up. He has no worries in a year of drought. Would you like to be like that? To have no worries even in a year of drought when everybody else is going short and is desperate? He has no worries and he never fails. He never fails to bear fruit. That's a picture of the man who walks and lives in the fear of the Lord. A man whose heart is perfect toward God. A man who's fully committed to God. And it leaves us with some decisive questions which I want to ask you in closing. How deep do your roots go? And what is the source of your life? Because in the fear of the Lord, our roots go down to the source of life which is in God himself.
You know, I love the idea that God's eyes are running to and fro over the earth, looking for people who have perfected their hearts towards Him. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord so the Lord will choose to work in my life and use me in the lives of others. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The Bible proclaims, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how He works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being here today. We are concluding a marvelous series on the fear of the Lord. And here in this next portion of teaching, Derek is going to give us four steps for cultivating the fear of the Lord. Let's listen.
In my closing talk today, I'm going to deal with an extremely important question, which comes as a natural consequence of all that I've been saying for the past 2 weeks. The question is, how can we cultivate the fear of the Lord in our own lives? And I'm going to outline for you in my talk today four important steps which I believe will lead you to this desired and desirable conclusion, the fear of the Lord in your life. The first step is found in a passage in Proverbs chapter 1 that I have referred to more than once already. It's one of the key passages in connection with the fear of the Lord. I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, a passage, as I say, that I've already read. In this first chapter, in this passage, wisdom is personified. That's the wisdom of God, representing God Himself, in a sense, and is making an appeal to men. But wisdom indicates that many men turn down this appeal and reject wisdom's offer. And so in that connection, wisdom goes on to say in these verses, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." See, well, there was a time, wisdom says, when I was calling on them, but they wouldn't answer. The next stage will be when they call on me, but I will not answer. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. I've pointed out already, but it's so important that it needs to be emphasized yet once more. The fear of the Lord comes by a choice, by a decision of the will. These people did not enter into the blessings that wisdom was offering them because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. So in order to enter into the fear of the Lord, the first thing you have to do is make a definite personal choice. You say, "Lord, I choose to take the course that will lead me into the fear of the Lord. Whatever it means, I'm willing. I make this choice. I make this decision." You're listening to these words and you've never made that decision, why don't you make them right now? Say to the Lord in your heart, "Lord, I make this choice. I choose the fear of the Lord. Lead me into it." And there'll be a great change in your life from that moment onwards. Then the second requirement there, which is also stated in that passage, is accepting counsel and reproof. Wisdom says of these people who did not find the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel, my advice, and despised all my reproof. They were uncorrectable, unteachable. So the second step is to be teachable. First to make the decision, then to be teachable. And there are two main sources of teaching to which I want to direct you. Well, we could say in a way three, and I'll point them out to you in succession. Step two is turn yourself to the first source of teaching of the fear of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit. We've already looked at the passage in Psalm 34:11, where the Holy Spirit, on behalf of God, is speaking to God's children and says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So in order to enter into the Lord, we have to be willing to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And in order to be taught, we have to listen. How many of you who are parents have tried to teach a child something and become aware as you're doing so that the child isn't listening? And it's impossible to teach a child who isn't listening. And it's just the same in our relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be taught, we have to listen. It's very impolite if somebody is seeking to speak to us and we turn away and ignore them and don't receive what they're saying. And I'm afraid that many, many times God's children are impolite to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is seeking to speak to us, but we've got other ideas. We've got other priorities. And so we don't hear, and so we don't learn. I'm going to continue now with step three to attaining to the fear of the Lord. Step three turns us to what I call the second source of teaching, which is human ministers. I want to quote two passages from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse 17. Each of these passages speak about our attitude to God's ministers who rule over us. Some people in churches today don't like that word rule, but there it is. God has put men of His choice in the body of Christ to rule and to fulfill other functions. It's no good saying, "Well, I listen to the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to accept teaching from men," because you're tying the hands of the Holy Spirit. You've got no right to do that. The Holy Spirit may say, "Well, I'll teach you, but I'll teach you through your pastor. I'll teach you through that evangelist. I'll teach you through that Bible teacher on the radio." And you have to be willing to accept the Holy Spirit's teaching by whatever channel God makes it available to you. So let me read these words in Hebrews 13. Verse 7 and 17. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And verse 17. "Obey those who have the rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So God has placed in the body of Christ men who rule, men who set an example of faith, men who speak the word of God, and men who watch over our souls. And it's of the greatest importance, if we're going to learn the fear of the Lord, that we submit to such men wherever God places them in our lives. You see, it says in Ephesians 4:11, "He, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." God has put those men in the body to help us become the kind of people He wants us to be.
To make a choice to walk in the fear of the Lord, to turn to the Holy Spirit as our teacher, and to submit to godly men whom the Lord has placed in our lives. These are the first three of the four steps to cultivating the fear of the Lord. May the Lord give us grace to do them. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The Bible proclaims, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how He works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being here on this Friday. We are at the last part of the last day of a week of teaching on the fear of the Lord, and Derek is just about to point us to the Word of God, the Scriptures, as a source of that fear. Let's listen.
Now I must move on very quickly to step four, which is the third source of teaching, which is the Word of God itself. And I want to read now from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, some very beautiful words. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your heart to wisdom and ply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Notice the closing promise in verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. They go together. God reveals himself to those who fear him. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. If you want to find the knowledge of God, you have to enter into the fear of the Lord. Now, in the previous four verses, the writer gives us certain conditions or steps we have to take if we're going to find the fear of the Lord through the study of his word. Verse 1, he says, receive and treasure my words and my commands. Verse 2, incline your ear, apply your heart. That means a teachable attitude, undivided attention, listening most carefully to what God is saying to us. Verse 3, he says, cry out and lift up your voice. That's earnest, importunate prayer. Prayer is one of the requirements for entering into the fear of the Lord. And verse 4, he says, seek and search as for hidden treasure. Jesus spoke a parable about treasure in a field, and he said that a man who wanted the treasure had to buy the field first. There's a price. Then he had to search in the field for where the treasure was. And when he found where the treasure was, he had to dig it out. There was a lot of commitment and a lot of hard work involved in finding that treasure. And the treasure that we're talking about is the fear of the Lord. It's there in the Word of God. But you have to go God's way to find it there. So take another look in your own time at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In fact, why not order the cassette of these messages? Because you're going to need to hear these truths again and again.
You know, Derek has taught us so powerfully that I don't think there's anything to do except simply to respond. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and welcome a fresh work of the spirit of the fear of the Lord in our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, you've sent your servant, Derek Prince, and through the years he's taught the word, and now we've heard this great recorded teaching on the fear of the Lord. Father, we want moral reformation in our lives. We want the passion, the moral passion, the comfort, the peace, the long life, all of the great blessings that come from the fear of the Lord. But most of all, Lord, we want to fear you and sense your pleasure as we live our lives. Would you grant all of those listening now a great endowment of the spirit of the fear of the Lord and all the transformation of life that comes with that? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to have you with us. Please be sure and join us next week on Monday when another great teaching series from Derek Prince is launched. But that's all the time we have for now. So from everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.